friends. This is Webby from the Grim Podcast of Perilous Adventure. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. For more podcasts like this, go to professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best world podcast on the internet. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me is
Why are they always laughing when it first starts up? Because Taylor always goes just before the timer.
Oh, even if I do it when the timer hits, I always edit it out. So it's like, anyways.
Oh. You should keep it in now.
I know, right? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, before we get started, I just want to send a huge no-y thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual.
Dot com. That was interesting.
I'm so sorry. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his teas. Teep Kim. I'm going to stop before I break something. Anyways, huge special thank you to our top patrons. We've got X-Paxis, we've got Rob and Iron Maze, we've got Tao and Dagna and Briar Mage, we've got Cider Drinker, Kilt Sparky, Random Guy, and there's also Cliff Jumper, whose birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday! I don't think you listen to the show, but happy birthday!
Happy birthday! We've got Vela Sendapega, Prince David, we've got the handsomest of Andes, we've got Brooks, we got Dillard of Chris, and we got Cord. Thanks, dudes. Hey! You like this show? You want to sign up? You know, help this show out specifically? You know, you could be like Lou G. And Tony M. and Meerkat, Stefan Revright, Mad Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, Lanil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. And you can sign up for the Electric Casuals tier, which is over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. You can help us out. It would be super dope. And we love you immensely. I mean, we love you immensely anyways, but...
super, you know, dope.
Super dope. Dan. I painted stuff.
Really?
It's Legion stuff.
Uh-oh.
But I still painted stuff. I also painted a pink frog.
Those are round-based things. People are going to get mad.
They're both round-based things. And a round base in your face.
What do you paint for Legion?
I painted a stormtrooper, trooper leader person who does all the... He's the leader of the bunch.
Oh, so like you painted his gun black and his like eye visor black and called it good?
No, I also painted his pauldron orange.
What? Oh, he's a leader, so he has a pauldron. That's right.
How many times do I have to say he was the leader of the bunch, and you know him well?
You said it once, and I didn't listen, apparently. I even saw the model. You shared it in the Discord.
And then I also painted some other dudes, which I'm almost done with. I'm going to show Dan, because y'all can't see it. I painted their gun black.
That's enough. I painted another gun black.
Yeah.
When I was painting clones, which I wish I hadn't sold, but because now we're getting in the Legion, of course. Uh-huh. My go-to was just black contrast, but then give it a layer of like Nuln Oil or whatever on top of that, because the contrast wears off so easily from play. Yeah. And that gives it a covering that keeps it a little bit safer.
That's good to know. I'll probably do that, actually. So what I'm doing with these nerds is I am spraying them with Grayseer, and then I'm doing the white, apothecary white contrast all over them.
Okay.
Dry brushing them with a mix of white and like, what is that? Proacryl, like sky blue or something like that. I got to find it.
White blue?
White blue, yeah.
I haven't been able to get any of that yet. Every time I go to get it at BD, it's sold out.
It's so good.
And pearl acrylic makes the best white, so.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of white, a little bit of white blue, just so it's like not just stark white, right? Yeah. Dry brush that on there like very heavily. It almost is like an overbrush instead of dry brush. And then just contrast black. And then like
the
cool
guns,
looking
the visor,
bases.
The joints.
The eyes, the joints, yep.
That's really similar to how I did the clones, except I always spray in Wraithbone instead of Greaseer. But it was kind of the same thing. Wraithbone and then Apothecary White over the whole thing. And then pick out all the black with the black contrast. And then do like touch-ups with and a little bit of highlighting with white. And then their color markings for whatever legion they were from. And they looked fine, and it was super fast.
And that's the best part is, you know, everybody's like, Taylor never paints. And it's like, yeah, because painting takes a hell of a long time. And I'm like, I can crash out a whole unit in a day.
Of stormtroopers? Absolutely. Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
Painting
and
skeletons or Necrons.
Right. And I mean, in a day, I mean like 2 hours. a day for me to do hobby stuff, right? So what I'm going to do that's a little bit different from normal stormtroopers, because one of the hardest things to do in Legion is, especially with stormtroopers and other things, is like, what unit is which?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have each individual, and I know this isn't lore accurate, but guess what, nerd, shut up. And I'm talking to all the nerds, not just you, Dan. not Fine. That you care. The pauldron colors are going to change based on the unit. So this guy's orange, and then the next one's going to be red, and then I'll do a green and a blue. And then on their units, I'm going to put like a little like blue stripe on them.
Nice.
Right, or a little orange stripe or whatever matches. It's going to be a little difficult with the snowtroopers because they don't have pauldrons, but I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, what you been up to?
A bunch of Legion stuff as well. Currently, I got the Rebel Starter at Gen Con, which was
nice.
Super sweet. It was free also, was great.
Free.
And I got Luke painted up, and then I bought Ahsoka because she's my favorite Star Wars character, and she's a operative in the Rebel Army because it's the Fulcrum version of Ahsoka.
Nice.
Which is dope. So I got her painted up today, and the rest of it's all assembled and primed Wraithbone. and I did something similar because the box comes with two units of Rebel Troopers that look all pretty much the same. So just one unit has all alien heads and the other units all human heads, just
to make
it real simple. but I've also been painting some more Warhammer stuff, slowly working on the Poison Wind Globadiers and the Hellpin Abomination. And then the other day I was inspired and basically just painted Fried All the Chainmaker like at once.
Yeah, she looks dope.
Thanks. I think I mentioned that I was starting on our last episode, which weirdly are episodes we recorded very close together this time. So it was like the other day. And then I finished her up the next day. I think she looks good. And then I was like, well, if I got Fried All done, I need to paint the other character for that campaign. So I found Ishaya Vess and started working on her for the High Elf Army.
Sorry. I just posted something in our Discord and Pony responded with he says, heck yes. And then in parentheses, I don't swear.
Sure he doesn't.
By the way, folks, join our Discord. Link is in the show notes. It's a stupid good time.
Oh my God.
So much
Tony
fun there.
Danz is a monster.
He's a monster. Anyways, go on.
Oh, and then I've been printing a whole bunch of Legion terrain.
Nice. Yes. And it looks so cool.
Yeah, next time I see you, I'm going to give it all to you because I'm not going to ever get around to painting that. So I printed out like the Hoth theme stuff because that's what Taylor's army is all about because he's got the Blizzard Force.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? I got the shield generators, the ion cannon, crashed air speeder, and it's finishing up some like crates and stuff. Oh, and some barricades.
Nice.
So a whole bunch of stuff there.
More just, barricades?
It's like, no, it's a bunch of like crates. More like scatter stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited. I don't know what it is about Star Wars terrain, but it's just so much easier. It's just gray.
Well, because everything in Star Wars is gray or white.
Or tan. Yep.
Yeah, or tan.
Pick one color and hey, you've done it. Turns out the 70s was really hard to get
color.
Yeah.
Except for lightsabers.
Right? Well.
Which is, of course, the first two models I painted for this army have lightsabers.
Yeah, actually, the first mini that I painted for Legion was Vader.
Naturally.
He was very easy.
Right.
Red.
If you want to go crazy, you could paint his, like, gorget type thing with some silver lines.
Listen, I'm never going near Vader's gorget.
Now,
it's way too close to me.
Question,
speaking of gorgets, yeah.
Real important question.
Uh-huh.
Vader's goggles. Did you paint them black or red?
Here's what I did for Vader. You ready?
I'm listening.
I sprayed the whole mini black and then painted his lightsaber red.
I love it. Love it. I mean, if we're going to film stuff with these, that's all you need. We're not going to be super closed up or anything.
He's not legal. He's two colors. That's it.
How dare you?
That's it.
So just pick out the silver on this thing. I got a couple things
I'm going to do to him. So I'm going to do the rest of the army really quick, and then I'll worry like about, I have General Veers. I'm going to work on him a lot. And then I have Vader. I'm going to work on him a lot. I want to do like non-metallics and like shiny stuff in his helmet and all that sort of stuff. But just to put him on the table, he's done.
Right.
He's done. Anyways.
Fun.
Speaking of gorgets, Dan.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of heavy infantry?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. I just, listen, I was concerned there for a second.
I made a big list.
You did make a big list. Thanks for doing that, by the way.
I looked up, I think I found all the heavy infantry. I looked through every book I have access to, which I think is every single one.
Good job.
And you made a list of all the heavy infantry units in the game. Some of them I was very surprised are not heavy infantry.
There are
a few that I assumed, and nope, they're regular. Okay. So they're not in this list.
Interesting. Now, folks, today what we're going to do is we're going to do tier lists because everyone loves tier lists. So we have your normal tier list that goes S, A, B, C. I don't know if that's how tier lists usually go. We're going to start backwards today. We're going to start at the bottom. And essentially, Dan has a group of criteria for these heavy infantry on why they are in each tier. But before we do that, just as a reminder, heavy infantry are a subset. We want to call it a subset of infantry, right?
Like subtype.
Yeah, subtype. So they have steady in the ranks due to their solid stature, heavy infantry, and often elite and heavy armor and often elite nature. Jeepers. Heavy infantry are rarely concerned by inferior numbers. To represent this, a unit of heavy infantry arrayed in either close or open order does not become disrupted when engaged in flank or rear unless the enemy unit has a unit strength of 10 or more, which is pretty dope.
I forgot about that.
Right? I have never remembered that ever in my life.
Nope.
So they only need four models per rank, and they get a max ranks bonus of twos.
That one I knew.
That one we knew. Which is really great because you can make these little tiny brick units, that just kind of heavy infantry kind of just don't die for the most part. But let's start at the bottom, Dan, because the bottom is one of my favorite places and it's where I often am.
Real quick. So, I made up this list an hour and a half ago, and Taylor has not really, he looked at it before we started and he was like, I'm not going to read this. I'm going to be like Tim and just not read.
Yeah.
He said he was going to mark things he would change. There is one change that we'll talk about, but I ranked him C, B, or A, A being what I think are the best heavy infantry units in the game. And I looked at their stats. First of all, their infantry. So especially their combat stats, right? What is their weapon skill? Strength is kind of important. I think toughness is more important for infantry. They got to be able to take hits. And their initiative is also hugely important. Were the main things I looked at in terms of stats. And obviously thinking about what special rules they have. But I also wanted to think about them in terms of how do they fit with and against the rest of their army. So for first example, the very first unit I put on here, without even looking at their rules, were Knights of the Realm on foot. And granted, I will say, before 2 months ago, all of these units would have been in C.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's right.
Valid.
Anything that can take a shield, obviously has gotten way better with Perry. But I think just looking at them in the vacuum of heavy infantry only, I first thought of Knights of the Realm on foot because they have some glaring issues. First of all, their elite infantry with weapon skill 4,
mm-hmm.
strength and toughness yep. 3, and initiative 3.
Listen.
They're slow.
They're very slow. They're very slow. They have the blessing, though.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah.
They got a ward save.
Yeah, they do have, you know, heavy armor and shield, so they can get a 3 up with parry, and then they can back it up with a 6 or 5 up ward save, which is not terrible, but that toughness mm-hmm. 3, they're not any tougher than elves.
I have this weird feeling that, well, they're humans, yeah. I have this weird feeling that GW has always overcosted.
Estimated. Thought
ward saves were way better than they have been.
Well, especially like six plus.
Six up ward save. Yeah, they've always been like, this is game breaking. 6 up ward saves are worth 3 million points, right?
Yeah.
And they can be worth, but I mean, a sixth of the wounds that you take are going to be saved. You know,
that's, on average,
that's not great.
Which we know in practice certainly doesn't always work that way. You can roll correct. A bucket of dice and get no sixes. But yeah, they just, I mean, yes, they do have Furious Charge is really nice. So when mm-hmm. they charge, they have 2 attacks.
Yep.
But like 2 attacks of weapon skill 4, strength 3. Or if you give them great weapons, 2 attacks of weapon skill 4, strength 5, which isn't terrible, but not that good.
At initiative 4, if you charge 3 inches.
Yeah. So you know? Like, I don't know. And in terms of like, it's one of those, why would you take these other than for flavor? Like, this is the kind of unit I would absolutely field. Just let's just put it out there. We're talking, like, I'm looking at this as more competitive stance, which I know we don't usually talk about on here as much, mm-hmm. but, like, I know plenty of people that play Bretonians that love the Knights of the Realm on foot for the flavor, because you have to have a unit of Knights of the Realm, and they can be on foot or mounted. So some sure. people take this just to play more infantry, because infantry is dope. But like, what do they do that a bigger block of peasants for the same points or knights don't do better, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And peasants are what, half the cost?
Probably less. The Knights right. of the Realm on foot is 11 points a model. If you just give them a great weapon, they're 13 points a model. But if you take away the shield and give them the great weapon, they're only 12 points a model.
I mean, 12 points, man. Peasant bowmen are 7.
I mean, they're not that expensive.
And they have burning braziers.
Yeah, compared to a man-at-arms with 4 points.
Yeah, yep.
So you can get 3 men-at-arms for the same price as a Knight of the Realm on foot when you get rid of the shield for the great weapons. And they only have a 5-up save.
And they come with a shield, the men-at-arms.
Yeah.
Light armor and the same size,
they have light armor and shield, so.
Jeepers. Well, no, the Knights of the Realm are heavy armor. Oh, because they have enough shield. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm following.
We'll get there eventually.
I might have gotten there. I might still not be there though.
But yeah, so that's why I put them at C. I don't know. It's just, why would you take it unless you're doing it for fun?
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard some people love them and some people absolutely detest them. So fair enough.
I think I fought them one time and they just didn't do much with great weapons, and they just didn't do much of anything. I just sure. kind of, you hit them first and they're dead.
Fair enough.
All right, hey, let's get to the real meat and potatoes here. We'll stay in Forces of Fantasy.
Sure.
I do have one unit of dwarves on here for
in the sea.
This level.
Yeah.
And I know you were already thinking, like, I don't know if they belong there. I put the Corollers / Thunderers as
so,
C.
Thunderers, let's look at Thunderers specifically. Liberalist skill 3.
That's why.
You know what I mean? Like, their job is, so everyone in their brain parts thinks that their job is to shoot things. And I agree. I use my Thunderers a lot as kind of an anvil. You get a unit of 10 of them with shields, and that's 11 points per model with a 4 up armor save, right? Because they got heavy armor shields. and a hand weapon, so they got parry.
So they got so they're better. They're already as defensible as the Knights of the Realm on foot.
You know what I mean? But they have this big old 24-inch range gun that doesn't care about how close you are with standing and shooting. I don't know. It's a toss-up for me, and the reason I can't stand Corollers and Thunderers is because they're Ballistico 3. If they were Ballistico 4, they'd be in the A rank. Easily.
Probably. Well, I don't know, because ballistic skill shooting, we've talked about a bunch of times, just isn't that good in but general.
Ballistic skill shooting with toughness 4 and a 4-up armor save.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, I'm
you know okay. what I mean?
Like, if they were ballistic skill 4, I'd be okay putting them in A instead of C. But
so I'm like they could be a B unit. Corollers have a 30-inch range, I'm pretty sure, with their crossbows.
Yeah. But that is nice. I don't
know. You know what I mean? I don't get use out of them every time I field them. And I think it's because I'm not taking a unit of 20.
They never do anything.
Which is hard to deal with, right? Units that size are just hard to deal with. Plus, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's one of those things about like getting your points back. Like, you sink 150 points into this unit of missile troops that kill two models before they get charged and dead. They're not doing their job. Like, yeah, they're filling core, but
the way that I play dwarves is also really weird. So
very fair.
You know what I mean? So I'm inclined to agree with you. I might put them in a C+ rank.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna put a little plus next to their name then.
A little tiny plus. They're a C+ rank. They're not quite C++. That's just B. That's a B.
All right. The other thing I have in C rank, which makes me cry, is the only one from Ravening Hordes in the C tier list are the Bestigors.
Yeah.
And there's one specific reason. I was gonna put them in B because Primal Fury is great. Strength of Toughness 4, Initiative 4, Movement 5 is all really good.
Yeah.
But they're heavy infantry that only have great weapons. They are like, yes, they have a hand weapon, but they can't take shields.
Oh, okay.
You can't.
Yeah, so they don't get any of the parry or any of that stuff.
No. So they only they max out at a 5-up save, which we know is not that great. Like, yeah, you can make them stubborn to make them a bit more of a, what do you call it? Anvil. But also with the nerf to the Blood Rage rule, where getting frenzied from Primal Fury doesn't matter unless you charged.
What a stupid rule still.
I hate it so much.
Stupid.
So I think they have the potential to be great if they do get the charge and get Primal Fury. Yeah, their weapon skill 4, rerolling ones to hit with strength 6 great weapons.
Yeah, initial 4.
That's not terrible. But just compared to other things in the army, like if I want to hit hard, I got Minotaurs or Dragon Ogres or Gorgons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I put them in C for that reason, that they're heavy infantry that can't really take hits. Like, yeah, they're toughness 4, but the best they can do is a 5-up save.
So if we just look to the right just a little bit, we look at the next page just a little bit, you can take twice the amount of gore per Bestigor.
Yeah.
And they're just way better.
Oh, I love gore.
And they're just way better.
I love gore because they're cheap and you don't care if they're dead.
Nope.
And like, if they charge, you kill three of them. Whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I know we're saying looking at just heavy infantry, but looking at their place within the rest of the army is that I take them when I want to tone down the beastmen.
Yeah. That's so funny.
You know, take out some Dragon Ogres and put in more Bestigor. Obviously, with the infantry changes recently, they are better at like taking the charge because they can fight in multiple ranks with their great weapons, but they don't have quite enough anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The toughness 4 is fantastic. Movement 5 great weapon dudes is actually really good.
It can be nice. And they do have warbands, so they have a better chance of getting that charge off.
Yeah.
So and you can make them veteran for another point to be able to reroll the Primal Fear if you need to. So, like, you know, I could be persuaded to put them into rank B, but
I feel like you'd
be
Well, you'd have to throw so much into making them better. You know what I mean?
I just remembered they used to have rule in the last couple editions. They had rules about like despoiling the enemy's banners and whatnot. And they don't even have that anymore. They're just, they're pretty vanilla within their own list.
Yep.
Super vanilla.
But they're supposed to be the best of Gores.
Right. And they don't even have more weapon skill. They're still in the weapon skill 4.
Yeah, that's BS.
Which is good. But what makes them best? They have +1 strength.
Yep. Hey, they got more strength than warriors do.
More strength and more better. They have the same ballistic skill as your Thor Thunder.
Oh, do they have the same ballistic skill then? They have the same ballistic skill, guys. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I hate you so much. I know. So the next one here, I got 2 more units in rank C, and I'm going to jump to the legacy lists for. This next one actually makes me a little sad because I feel like they used to be really good.
Yeah.
In previous versions of the game. But Graveguard.
Yeah.
Graveguard. Like in a Horde undead list, you're talking 11 points a mile. 11 points a mile. What? 11 points a model. Uh-huh. 12 if you want to give them great weapons. And you can't give them great weapons and shield to have the choice. You have to replace the shields with hand weapons. And they have a lot of the same issues as these other things. They're only weapon skill 3, which is typical. You know, undead are always really low weapon skill, so they get hit a lot.
Yep.
They are strength and toughness 4.
Which is really nice, yeah.
Which I kind of miss. That is really nice. But I feel like in this list, they don't really add anything that you don't already get from the other infantry that are way cheaper. Mm-hmm. Or harder hitting things in general. Like if you're taking these guys with great weapons to hit hard, you have things that do that better. Black Knights, Blood Knights. They have tons of different monstrous infantry that can do this. Terror Geists and things like that. I don't know. I just feel like, again, kind of like the Knights of the Realm on foot. Like I don't see why you take these guys unless you're doing it for the theme, the memes, the theme,
the themes and the memes. So I feel like I had this conversation with Andy the last time we played where, if you have the option to take more skeletons, then you take more skeletons.
Right. Yeah. Cause you know Grave Guard are again, 11 or 12 points a model. Skeleton warriors are 5 or zombies are 3.
You know what I mean?
Even ghouls are 9 and you get multiple attacks with poison.
Yeah. More than double the amount of points for a unit of 10 Grave Guard. It's insane.
Yeah, and they used to be much better because they all had Killing Blow with their white blades, but now they only have Cleaving Blow.
Yep.
So they just ignore armor on a 6 instead of kill you. So if they had Killing Blow, they would probably be B, maybe A.
Yeah, maybe A. Yeah.
Because then they'd have way more of a place in the army. But like, no. You don't need an anvil. You don't need a tough anvil in Vampire Counts. That's everything else.
Correct. Yeah. Oops, more zombies, you know?
Yep. Like you need a hammer somewhere.
Oh, and like I got these ones for free. oh my gosh, man. Yeah, one of the big things that I hate about Graveguard not being super duper is their minis are just so beautiful.
Well, I mean, nowadays, even the old minis I thought were pretty great, but nowadays all the undead stuff that you can get from Age of Sigmar just put on square bases gorgeous. Are so good.
They're so good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I was talking about the Graveguard. Yeah, they're still the same from 8th, aren't they? Or do they have... So. No, they have new ones from AOS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even
oh my gosh.
The plastic ones from 8th edition were not bad at all, but the AOS... I forget what they call them now. I think they just got a bunch of new stuff too.
Oh my gosh, these look incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so upsetting.
They look amazing.
I want to see these on the table all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers.
Yeah, anyways, I'm really hoping that now that they've gotten Arcane Journals for everything, that in the next couple of years we might see some expansion into some of these legacy lists because come on.
Yeah, they need help.
Vampire Council would look so good.
Yeah. Speaking of legacy lists, how about Bloodletters?
So this really hurts me because I have 30 Bloodletters. I love these guys. They used to be pretty great. I threw them in C just because they are in the Demons book, and this book has a lot of trouble. You need so much to back them up and make them better.
So Demons were winning every game. I don't know what happened.
People, you know what I mean? Figured them out.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, any amount of magic they just fall over to. Cause like, yeah, they're movement 5, which I didn't realize until just now. I thought they were 4. That's actually awesome. Weapon skill 5 is really nice, but they're only toughness 3.
Yeah, they get the same bliss skill as dwarves too.
They do 3, even though they can't, they hate ranged weapons.
I don't know, man. I think these guys are pretty dope. Initiative 4 is fantastic. They've got cleaving blow on their hellblades. The light armor sucks, but they have a baked in 5-up ward save all the time.
That's true. You know what I
mean? And they are magic resistance 1 as well, which is dope for, you know, having demon issues.
Yeah.
I think really the biggest issue with them is Impetuous, because they're leadership 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, Impetuous leadership 7 is rough. If you give them a herald, it goes up. If there's a herald in the unit, they're leadership 8, which is, better. I don't know. So I put him in C just because they're the only demon heavy infantry. None of the other ones are heavy. They're all regular, which I thought was interesting.
Mm.
But again, heavy infantry with toughness 3 and a 6-up, 5-up. Like, yeah, they had that ward save, but they're still going to go down to a stiff wind.
So let me let me just ask you a question here real quick.
Yeah. Ready?
So you take a big old block of blood letters as like your core, your 500 points or whatever it is of core, right? 25% that you need. And you go ahead and throw a demonic herald in there, 155 points with a skull totem. So the whole unit has furious charge.
Okay, that's way better. But that's what I'm saying. You have to bump them up with a bunch of other things. By themselves, they're fine, I think. Like, obviously, if I'm going to play a Khorne army, I'm going to have a bunch of bloodletters because you have to, you know? Like,
Yeah.
And what we talked about before, it's really hard to mix marks in a demon army.
Yeah.
Because you really need that icon to keep them alive at all.
Yep. And if you take bloodletters, then you need a bloodthirster, a demonic herald of Khorne, which I've got one, right? Or a demon prince, right? So yeah. Demons are an interesting list. I just like mono just because I like Slaanesh, but I think you should try out the Khorne demons. I think you'd have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, I haven't managed to get them on the table yet just because everything else has been more exciting for me to play, and they're still all enough on rounds because I had them mostly I used them a lot in 40K.
Yeah.
So it's like I feel like they need more work to get on the table. But yeah, I do want to try them out at some point. And sometimes I just kind of forget that they're over there.
Yeah, fair.
I have demons and Nurgle demons. I forgot about these guys.
The Blood Reaper, do they get an extra leadership for a champ? I don't think they do. Damn.
Nope. Right. Just 7.
Dang.
All you get is an extra attack.
Dang.
Which again, yeah, if you give them furious charge, they're, you know, 2 attacks, weapon skill 5, strength 5 on the charge with cleaving blow.
That's pretty dope.
Is not bad by any means. No. But you have to put all those extra points in with a character and a magic item to do that.
They are also 14 points a model.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing. Demons are way overcosted. 14, and I mean these are more than anything else we've seen so far.
Sure.
And again,
sure. Yeah, you don't even need to. That
is because of that demonic ward save. They put way too many points into that. And like, yeah, they're kind of unbreakable, but they can go poof.
Actually, Dan, you don't need the demonic herald in there. You can just give the unit the skull totem. So 31 blood letters is 505 points with the whole full command plus the skull totem.
Oh, because that's an icon. Okay.
Yep.
And that just gives them furious charge. Yeah.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Not terrible. So again, I would be okay bumping them to B.
Mm-hmm.
I think to be A, they'd have to be like toughness 4 or just have furious charge for the points that they cost, you know, like something else.
Yeah.
Killing blow instead of cleaving blow.
The impetuous at
impetuous leadership also 7 hurts.
Is kind of brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think they're a C+.
Okay. I can agree with that after that discussion. Oh, you already added the plus. You cheeky monkey.
I am a cheeky monkey.
You cheeky monkey. So that's all I put in C. Is there any other unit that I have in B or A that you think belongs in C?
Every high elf unit belongs in C.
There's only one.
Yeah, put it in C.
So don't get
it
too
used
excited.
To be a C. It used to be a C.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's definitely a B.
So we'll talk about that one next then. So the first unit I have in B are the Phoenix Guard, the only heavy infantry for high elves. Definitely thought White Lions and definitely thought Swordmasters were heavy, they are both regular. Yeah, I was ready to put them both in B tier. So I was like, I actually had Phoenix Guard in A tier, and then as I looked at other things I'd forgotten about, I was like, oh no, never mind. They're not that good.
I think really they're one of their main issues is 16 points a model.
I mean they're high elves. They're crazy expensive, right?
But for high elves, that's insanely expensive.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the other elite infantry, Swordmasters are 14 and White Lions are also 14. So you're paying 2 more points a model, which doesn't sound like that much at first, but when you're taking 20 of them and now you're paying 40 extra points, they are movement 5, weapon skill 5, ballistic skill 4 with no range weapons.
Shut up.
Initiative 5, and they always get +1 in the first round of combat. So even if you charge me, I'm initiative 6.
Yep.
Is nice.
Yeah,
And then they have their ceremonial halberds, which are halberds that are also spears.
Yeah, which is, so you what, fight in 3 ranks now or some crap?
If you charge me, they fight in 3 ranks, yeah, with +1 strength. So they're strength 4. So that's another thing I put them in B. They're only strength and of course, toughness 3. Mm-hmm. But like they have some neat things. If they get hit with fire, they got a better ward save. And their witness to destiny makes me cry every time because they nerf the hell out of this. In 8th edition, it was just a 4-up ward save all the time. It was great. 50% chance to not die. Now it's a 6-up ward save against non-magical enemy attacks.
Yeah, and they just beat it with the nerf stick.
Yeah. They did give them full plate armor, though. That is nice.
Let me tell you how much this unit scared the piss out of me in 8th edition. If you put them on the table, I was like, I'm ignoring them. I'm not even going to go anywhere near them. Screw this unit. They were terrifying.
To be fair, though.
Seeing them on the table is rare.
To be fair, I could not roll those 4-up saves for anything.
That's true.
They still died in droves every time. And it was like, you're supposed to be so tough. Why are you dying all the time? So I haven't used them yet in the old world. I think they've become the best of the elite infantry after the change. With more attacks, I mean, more attacks is more better.
Yeah,
full plate is huge now, and there's no elite infantry that can take hand weapon and shield. Only spear elves and Othrin Sea Guard could do that, potentially. But then they have light armor, so it's still, they have the same save as Phoenix Guard with their full plate. So they're a little more defensive. They have veteran baked in, which is nice. Yeah. And they cause fear, so, I mean, that might work once every 3 games.
And then, hey, what do? You give them the Razor Standard, so they're also 8 Armor Bane 2, or, you know, give them the Rampaging Banner, or, I don't know, man.
There's a lot of good stuff. So I think they're fine. They have some benefits, Weapon Skill 5, Initiative 5. They have some real detriments, Strength and Toughness 3.
Yeah, they're elves.
But full plate is really nice.
They're weak, weak little babies.
Wow. But yeah, so I put them in B, kind of middle of the road.
Yep. No, I think they're pretty darn spectacular. They're way better after the new changes here.
Yes.
Which was so needed. Thank you, GW, for that.
For real.
There's so many things that we can moan about, but thank you for that. It was so needed. Let's talk about Chaos Warriors, huh?
So Chaos Warriors, I think, are the gold standard for heavy infantry.
Yeah, 3 points less than Phoenix Guard. So we're looking at 13 points a mini. Movement 4, because they're people. Web skill 5, not that elves aren't people, but they're not people. Web skill 5, same ballistic skill without a ranged weapon as a dwarf. Strength toughness 4, which is just dope as hell. Initiative 4. you know, in leadership eight, they are just their stat line is solid.
They're just solid. Good, right? Yep. Like, to me, this, like I said, gold standard. This is what I want to see from my heavy infantry. They can hurt with strength four. They can take hits with toughness four. They come with hand weapons and heavy armor. And they have a bunch of options. You can give them shields, additional hand weapons, great weapons, halberds. Like, they have a lot of choice.
They're just, this is Warhammer. This is Warhammer infantry. Just dudes in gigantic metal armor with any weapon choice that you want. Fully customizable with marks. They're good. They're just good.
Yeah, they're so good. And with the parry rule, their hand weapon shield version of Chaos Warriors are so much better.
Yeah.
Only do they have a 3-up save, but they also have ensorcelled weapons, so they're always AP 1.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was like, well, maybe I'll take, you know, it was really kind of a toss up. Like, do I take, you know, hand weapon or great weapons or halberds? And it's like, well, no, I'm always just going to take hand weapon shield now.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, they're so good, man. The halberd is nice with strength four because it makes, you know, depending on what you're going up against, it makes you wounded on threes or twos, which is fantastic. But no, I mean, the hand weapon and source of weapon and shield is so dope. And then if you want to do more things more better, you give them a mark for 2 points, 15 points a model, and they just do more better.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so freaking good, man.
Even though we're singing their praises, I didn't put them in A tier just because there are better versions of this, right? Like Chosen Warriors are obviously just better Chaos Warriors. So Chaos Warriors kind of define the B tier to me.
Fair enough. I just lost them. I just started scrolling around. There we go. Jeepers. My gosh. I lost them now. Yeah. Fantastic. How about Infernal Guard, Dan? Talk to me about them.
Okay. So these are your favorite dwarf infantry.
Yep.
That happened to follow the Chaos God Hashut.
Mm-hmm. You know, they just dabble.
Oh, those are commanders. I was like, wow, these guys have Blitz Skill 4? No, I didn't. That's Infernal Guard commanders. I didn't
scroll
down far enough.
Yeah, the Web Skill 6, too.
All right, Infernal Guard. So these are your dwarf warriors, but chaosified. So they're movement 3, but they got all the good stuff. Weapon Skill 4, Strength and Toughness 4. Yeah, they're only Initiative 2, but they're dwarves. You're kind of used to that. They come with hand weapons and heavy armor. And a lot like Chaos Warriors, they have a ton of choices. You can give them great weapons, fire glaives, hail shot blunderbusses, and shields. They can take shields on top of any of those things.
Which is awesome. So you
can make them melee or ranged focused. And the blunderbusses are great, as we talked about in our Chaos Dwarf episode. And they have a bunch of other options, too. The Death Mask, their champion, can take a pistol or bombs. Magic items, you can make them all drilled or give them black shard armor, which is basically chaos armor.
It's a little different. It only works against flaming attacks.
Oh, typical anti-flaming attacks. Also, shield wall and stubborn, resolute. Yep. You can make them a detachment or regimental unit, so you can take like a big block of Infernal Guard with hand weapon, shield, heavy armor, or great weapons, and then give them some detachments of shooty guys. They have a ton of options, and I think they're just solid.
Yeah, one of the most friggin' wonderful things here is the stubborn and shield wall combination.
Yeah.
It's so good. So I think it's stubborn. If you lose combat, you can fall back in good order. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, you don't roll, you just do that instead.
I gotta look that up because it's very important to what I'm about to say.
I think you give ground. Yeah, double check it. I always get that one mixed up.
So the reason that I think it's super important, stubborn, LMNSOP, stubborn. Stubborn? Stubborn.
You can do it.
Hello, there it is. Jeepers.
Jeepers. Jeepersmithster.
Jeepersmithster. When they're required to make a break test, they'll automatically fall back in good order instead. And then shield wall, if you fall back in good order, you just give ground.
There we go.
So,
yeah.
So if you lose, you just give ground.
Just like lowers it and lowers it again. So that combination is great, and you can very reliably do that with their, just give them a shield for 1 point a model.
Yep. 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 But I mean those blunderbusses, so you know what I'm saying.
The blunderbusses are so great. I just brought that one up. So range 12, so it's not a big range. AP 3?
Yeah.
Wait,
that's
no.
That's gotta be strength.
I was like, what? No, the columns got unaligned. So yeah, strength 3, AP minus 1. That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
But multiple shots D3 and volley fire, which is kind of cool.
Yep. And they
suffers no negative fire. Sorry, go ahead.
Long range, multiple shots, or making stand and shoot. So you're just shooting at ballistic skill 3.
You're pretty much just always hitting on 4s.
Yeah.
More or less.
And if 20 or more models target the same unit, they get to reroll natural 1s when hitting. Or when wounding, excuse me.
And with that volley fire makes it more, like, possible.
It's so funny. So they're solid. They are solid.
I like them.
You know what else is solid? What? Mother Truckin' Darth Warriors, bud.
I really thought about this a lot and decided to put them in B because, again, they're fine. They're good. They're not bad in any way other than the what you expect from dwarves. Movement 3, Initiative 2, that does suck, but they have all the dwarfy things to back that up.
So Chaos Warriors are movement 4, weapon skill 5, strength 4, toughness 4, initiative 4. And you might be thinking, how do Dwarf Warriors line up with that when they're one move less, one weapon skill less, one strength less, you know, all that sort of stuff, two initiative less, et cetera, et cetera. They are 3 points less. No, they're five points less.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, they're a lot 8 cheaper. 8 points
a model with heavy armor. You can give them shields at 9 points a model. And then just, you know, give them veteran. You know what I mean? Rerolling all the stuff. They have shield wall. They're magic resistance 1. I don't know, man.
Well, they can't get them stubborn. That's too bad. But there's other units that do that as well. But no, I think they're just solid. They're a good core choice. Like, you don't feel bad filling out a good chunk of your army with dwarf warriors. Because
not at all.
There's nothing terrible about them.
Their upgrades are cheap. Their unit upgrades with a veteran, standard bearer, etc. Musician, very important. Muzo, you got to take
always.
5 point musician.
Bad dwarf just singing through his beard.
Singing through that beard. No, he's tooting on a horn. You get standard runes, runic standards up to 50 points, which some of these runic standards are just stupid good. I don't know, man. They're solid.
Yeah.
They're a solid B tier.
Yeah. Again, I think they don't do anything crazy special, but I don't think they need to. Like, you know, I was complaining about things like Bestigors and Graveguard not doing anything special, but they're not usually core. I know you can make Bestigor core. You can probably make some Graveguard core somehow. I don't know the Vampire Counts list well enough, but like, They're your core choice. They don't need to do anything special.
Yep.
They're the backbone.
They are dwarf warriors. I always find myself having at least a unit of sword and board warriors, or excuse me, axe and board warriors. and they are always, almost always on the table at the end of the game. You know what I mean? Do they get their points back? I don't care. They did what they were supposed to do, and that's not move.
Also, they almost never give up their points. Like you said, they're still on the table at the end. So they didn't get their points back, but they also didn't give them up to the enemy, most likely. Unless things are going really poorly for you.
Yeah, right. So yeah, you can take Graveguard as core if you have a white.
Oh, okay. Yep. Was 0 like a white to 1 king probably. Or a white
lord. Yep. Anyways, Dwarf Warriors, solid. Longbeards. I like Longbeards. I need to try Longbeards with shields because I almost always take them with great weapons just because they were, they're initiative 2, they're dwarves. Come on. You know, I'm going to be striking an initiative 2 almost all the time. So what's one initiative less where I get 2 extra strength and some AP and whatnot. Right. But the cool thing about Longbeards, being in the new stuff with heavy armor and shields is they have Gromwell weapons.
Yeah, right? That's nice.
Which is super dope, which I believe Yeah, they give some AP minus one. It's good. It's really good.
I mean, Longbeards are basically Chaos Warriors that are movement three instead of four, right?
Yeah,
and lower initiative.
A little less initiative, yep.
But they have weapon skill five, strength to toughness four. They get all that kind of stuff. They're a little customizable with great weapons or shields. And then they have a bunch of great special rules. Like they're already veteran. Magic resistance one. I mean, all dwarves have that, but you know what I mean. Shield wall. And venerable, unless this unit's fleeing, friendly units within 6 inches of it can reroll any failed panic test. Never remember that rule, but it's there.
Well, the thing is, dwarves don't run away ever, except for the 12 times that I've rolled boxcars trying to
have. And then you reroll it into a 10 or 11.
Right.
Swoops. See, I put them at B because even though they're kind of elite infantry, they're not that much. I mean, they are a big step up. Plus one weapon skill, plus one strength. Compared to dwarf warriors, but like I felt like, especially comparing them to other dwarf elite infantry, they're fine.
They're good.
Exemplary. Yep.
Here's the problem with Longbeards. If you're taking just a grand army, is you can only take one unit as core and you need a king as your general.
Everyone else. You're almost, when are you not going to have a king?
Well, there's sure. There's people who don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. To me, it's like if you're taking high elves and not using a prince, you're playing a very special type of build, probably.
Sure.
That's relying on an archmage or maybe even a handmaiden of the Everqueen. So, like, to not take a king is like, okay, so who's your general? The runesmith with the Anvil of Dune, maybe? Or
yes.
Rune Lord?
Yep.
Like, I think that's the only other way you would go, in which case you probably still want just a cheap king anyway.
Maybe you could just take a Thane, you know what I mean, and give him some runes so he's got three wounds and toughness six. And
does he count for Longbeards, or does it have to be specifically?
No, he's got to be a king.
Okay,
gotta be a king.
I know sometimes they say, like, you know, dwarven lords.
Yep,
that includes like a king or a Thane. Interesting. So the next one here, the only debate we have, I have an A, but Taylor thinks they belong in B, are Ironbreakers.
I love Ironbreakers. I adore Ironbreakers so much. They are such a pain in the ass to deal with. They are full plate armor with shields. Oh my gosh. What other infantry unit has a 3-up armor save?
Rerolling ones, because you have ground rule armor as well.
Which you can give them a 2-up armor save with the anvil, rerolling ones. Like, what other unit has that?
With hand weapon and shield, they have a 2-up.
You know what I mean? I think the new rule is max 3, isn't it? Look that up.
Yeah, for infantry, yeah. But they're all, again, shield wall and stubborn.
Shield wall and stubborn. You can give them drilled. You can give them that banner that when you charge me, you don't count as having charge for your special rules or enemy. Oh, it's the best.
So much.
It's the best. And they have a 6-up ward save. Just all the time.
Non-magical enemy attack, same as the Phoenix Guard.
Yep. I adore them so much. And they have Gromero weapons, so they're minus 1 AP too.
So why do you want to put them in B instead of A? So I feel like these, because they're weapon skill 5, strength toughness 4, crazy good armor. That's what I put them in A, because that bumped them up a bit compared to the Longbeards, as well as shield wall and stubborn and regimental unit with Iron Drakes as their detachment. Like,
these guys
are so much going on.
The probably one of the best anvils in the game that you can't raise models for.
The best anvil, you know, game is not unbreakable or undead. Yeah.
Right. My issue with them is in my very, very expensive dwarf army, they're 15 points a model as an anvil, and I have 4 other anvil options.
Yeah. So that's kind of the same reason I bumped Graveguard way down. So I think it's totally fair to put these guys in B tier instead.
So Iron Drake's got a big hit with their Trollhammer torpedo going down to, what is it, strength 6 or something like that?
I can't remember the exact change.
They got a big hit. But for the same points, I can take Iron Drakes that have absolutely ridiculously dope weapons, dope shooting weapons at actual Ballista skill 4.
Yeah.
And they just lose a shield.
That's why I put Iron Drakes in A, because come on.
You know what I mean? They're just incredible. So Iron Breakers, I adore. I just think for everything else that I'm buying in the Dwarf Army, I find myself not buying them.
I think if they were strength full, that they're strength four, I think that they could take great weapons with their full plate, they might have a place.
But that goes against their lore.
I mean, that's what hammers are there for, right?
You know?
I don't know.
I think if they were charged in the front rank, giving them initiative three would be nice. But yeah, if they get charged, they're going to be striking underneath initiative, underneath everything anyways. You know what I mean?
They're also covered in incredibly heavy armor.
Right. So I don't know. I think they're fantastic and I probably should play them more. I just always find myself playing with other toys.
Yeah.
You know?
I know one toy you want to be able to play with, but don't currently have any of are Dwarf Miners.
Thanks, Brooks.
That I also put into B tier. He's printing some, right?
Yeah.
That's dope as hell. Thanks, Brooks.
Yeah.
So I put them in B because they have, you know, Ambush. They have their own special thing that they can do. We have lamented Ambush a whole bunch here, but it's kind of cool and you can make it more reliable.
For 26 points.
Yeah, it's expensive, but that's why they're not A, right?
Right. Yeah. I think
they're fine.
I think they would be A tier if they did the ambush thing that was in the Arcane Journal, where you put the coin on the table and they can show up like in the middle of the board.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they would be A tier.
I thought about making them A, and then I was like, well, just regular ambush, we don't love.
Especially with movement three dwarves. No.
Yeah. No, it's almost better to just start on the table.
Agreed.
Instead of putting them in the ambush.
100% agreed.
But then again, like, what do they do differently from any other dwarf? Now they're just warriors with great weapons.
Yep.
that can take blasting charges and a steam drill. So mostly I put them in B because of their versatility within the army.
Well, here's the great thing about them is a unit in an army that moves very slow, here's a unit that can just show up in enemy lines on turn two, relatively reliably for 26 points, and start harassing backline things. I think that's great, especially with the new objectives that are going to be all over the board.
Yes.
I think they're a solid B, for sure.
I forgot about that. Yeah, and we talked about recently how ambush is better, but I'm like, they didn't change the ambush rule, and that's it. All those objectives around.
Yep.
Actually, you can get to them maybe with more than just gyrocopters.
Yeah. Not just gyrocopters.
All right, then I have two more dwarf units in B because there's so much heavy infantry.
Why is
and dwarves.
This dwarf in B? No, get this out of here. Copy that. Paste it down here. Dumb. They're awful.
What?
They're so bad.
Well, before we get to those, let's talk about the Royal Clan Warriors, because I know you love these dudes, because you love the Royal Clan.
I love these dudes. I love playing Royal Clan. I always forget my rules when I'm playing Royal Clan just because of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Royal Clan Warriors are neat. And the reason that I think they're neat is because they're warriors with Gromril armor. And that's really neat.
Oh, I forgot that's like the main thing they have different, Gromril armor.
Yep.
Shield wall, you can make them stubborn, and they have shield wall baked in. That's really nice.
Only two extra points in model, they have Gromra weapons and armor, which I think is solid.
That seems worth it.
Super solid. And if you take them in Royal Clan, they get an extra strength on the charge,
which
I always forget about. But you're not charging because you're a dwarf.
Well, I don't know. If you're in Royal Clan, you also have the carts, your weapons, your movement four, so now you're back to average.
Yep. So I really like these guys a lot. They're just warriors that cost two extra points, but they get Gromra armor and Gromra weapons, which is incredible. They have the option to take stubborn, which I always take all the time on hand weapon shield Royal Clan Warriors because they also have shield wall. They're just, I think they're really good. And you give them, these are the guys that I give the banner of if you charged me, you didn't. Which is
just makes so you good. Irrationally angry
because it's so good.
Every time it's like, I forgot you had that, and now I don't get to do anything. That's
anything at all. Did you charge me? Did you charge me with lances? No, you didn't.
You charged the impact hits? Just kidding.
I love them so much.
So good.
But no, right, I think Royal Clan Warriors are super solid. I might even put them in B+.
B+. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I was about to do it, but I see you're doing it. So the next one I have here, I'm not sure what you have against these guys, but I also put the dwarf Imperial Dwarf Mercenaries
as there's no reason B. to take these in anything. Anywhere that you can take these guys, there's no, if you put these in an Empire of Man army, I will slap you.
I got toughness four dudes.
I will come to your home and I will slap you.
But they could take handguns or crossbows or great weapons or thrusting spears.
Empire can't do that. Just use men at arms.
I mean, they still are close to skill three. So like, why? I mean, you're paying more for the toughness four, weapon skill four on your range dudes if you do that, I guess. And it's plus 3 points a model to give them handguns. Yeah,
they're so bad.
I put them at B because they're just kind of your standard dwarf heavy infantry. They're really just dwarf warriors with more options.
They're in light armor, Dan.
Oh, they're in light armor. That they should be C tier.
Yes, you have to take a shield and heavy armor with a point each.
And then how much more than a thing are they?
So they're 10 points a model now with heavy armor and shields, which is 2 extra points over a dwarf warrior. These guys are awful.
Okay, never mind. The only
reason that you would take them is you have toughness 4 spear dwarves.
I don't know.
They're so bad.
I totally miss that they have light armor. That is actually huge.
They're so bad. Ugh, wow. So disappointed because they should be super neat. They should be super cool. It should just be dwarf warriors in the Empire. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know why all of a sudden dwarf warriors were like, oh, you know what? We actually don't like metal armor anymore. We're going to go cloth leather instead.
What's even better is that you can take them as mercenaries in a dwarf list. And it's just, why would you ever do that?
Yeah, correct. They're worse dwarf warriors.
that don't fill your core points. Why would you ever do that?
They're so bad.
Because you can give them handguns, not Thunderer guns.
They're not dwarf crafted. Nope.
They're just worse in every way. I don't understand why they're not. Even if they were 7 points a model base instead of 8, I don't know. Yeah, that was one of those Arcane Journal. Just like, what are you doing, units? what is this supposed to be?
When I read that, I was like, this is the dumbest unit ever. Because so the angry. Neat. It's a little dwarf who's got cloth armor, and I, you know, let me look up Imperial Dwarf.
I'm sure that's the whole reason is that it's based off the old model completely.
Oh yeah, so they're Imperial Dwarves. They have cloth armor and they are carrying spears, and they look super cool. They're super neat, and they got like the Imperial like mustaches that are curled over top of their beards. Mustaches. Yeah. They're super cute, but they're just so bad.
Well, so make the point cost reflect that. Why aren't they less if they don't even come with heavy armor?
They're at C minus. I hate them.
C minus. Oh, did you give them that already?
I did.
You did. C-.
C-. I'm so angry about them. There's so many things dwarf list that I'm like, well, this could just, it could have, I could have been a contender, you know? Yeah.
Could have been a contender. All right, we got two more for B. I want to go through these relatively quickly because you never see these on the table anyway. There's the Battle Pilgrims and
Braille Rogue. Oh my god, we're an hour in?
Yeah, so I'm trying to speed up a little bit.
All right, yeah, Battle Pilgrims, Grail Reliquet, go ahead.
I'm shocked that these were heavy infantry. I did not realize that. And the only reason I put them in B is because if you take a Grail Reliquet, which I don't know why you wouldn't, they become unbreakable.
Yeah, it's dope.
And immune to psychology, and it counts as a standard and musician at the same time.
And it's only 65 points.
And it counts as 6 dudes as well.
Yeah.
It has 6 so wounds, good. 6 attacks. I mean, but they're peasants. Their weapon skill 2, strength 3, their leadership 8.
Let's give them dwarves.
They do, only 2. And let's see, you may include up to 1 for every character or unit with the Grail vow, so they are limited. But no, they're a really nice anvil for Bretonnia that doesn't really have any reliable
Yeah, for
reals. Because, like, yeah, you can take a big unit of peasants, but they can break relatively easily. And, like, yeah, you can take those knights on foot, I guess. But I think this is a way better option.
And it also gives them hatred to everyone.
Hatred to everyone is fun.
It's super fun. Yeah,
so the weapon skill too, but rerolling.
Yeah. I think it's super solid. Solid B.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I felt like they fit there pretty well.
What are the Teutogen Guard?
They are an empire list. So they are they're like parts of the Knights of the White Wolf on foot, essentially. Okay. They are, you know, knights devoted to Ulrich that are on foot. I put them in B, which you might be like, wasn't that the same thing as Knights of the Realm on foot? No, they have full plate armor.
Oh, damn.
Full plate and wolf hammers, which are strength plus one, AP two, requires two hands. But when you charge, they're strength plus two. So they're great weapons that don't strike last when you charge, or they're halberds with AP two. So they're pretty solid. And in combat, they get to reroll hits of one because they are inner circle knights on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, they're kind of expensive at 13 points a model, but it's in the Empire, so, like, the rest of the stuff is dirt cheap.
Yeah, true.
And I don't care that they're a little more expensive.
When your state troopers are 5 points.
Yeah. Oh, that reroll natural one to hit is one more point a model, so that makes them 14 points a model. Still, I think, worth it.
Nope, solid. Plus, they have a really cool name, Teutogen Guard.
Yeah, from the Teutogen tribe that lived in Middenheim, in Middenland.
I think it's Teutogen.
Teutogen? I can't even say it wrong. Also, Stubborn and Veteran is real nice.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. A tier. These are the best of the best of the best, sir. I started
baby girl.
We're back to more dwarfs.
Baby girl.
Shockingly, ooh, dwarfs have a bunch of really good heavy infantry, like hammerers.
Oh, I love them.
I hate hammerers so much. They are the bane of my existence. And I didn't used to feel this way about them until Old World made them so friggin' good.
So good.
All right, you ready to talk about these guys?
Yes, I'm very ready to talk about these guys.
Pretty much the best unit in the army, other than maybe gyrocopters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I need to get my 5 gyrocopters assembled. Anyway.
Yes, you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, 16 points a model. Hefty. These are hefty boys. They are weapon skill 5. Every single one of them counts as a champion if you have a king or a thane in the unit, which is so obnoxious.
So annoying.
They are a ballistic skill 3 because obviously they're dwarves. Strength and toughness 4. They've got initiative 3, which is unheard of for dwarves. And the reason this is important is they're big old beautiful great hammers.
Yeah.
Baby. So if you charge them, they get plus one attack and initiative, which is dope. Because you know that I have that banner that says you make a disorder charge, so you don't get any of your initiative bonus. So now I'm striking initiative 4, which is almost, it's either the same as you or it's more, depending on what you're fighting with, right?
Yeah.
And I'm swinging with 2 attacks apiece at strength 6, AP minus 2, armor bane 2, magical attacks.
Weapons go 5.
They're so good, Dan.
They're incredible.
They're so good. And hey, guess what?
What?
They're stubborn. And they have shield wall.
Which you used to hate.
But now, you can actually make use out of it. They're so good. And they're Gromro weapons, so if you decide to use that hand weapon for whatever reason, you're still an initiative, or an AP minus 1, you can give them drilled and veteran, any unit of hammers. I love them.
Yeah, they were the first unit I put into A before we even started looking stuff up, because I hate playing against them. So many plus, you just wrote a bunch of pluses after the name sextuple plus hammers.
They're so good.
Oh, hammers XXXXXX.
Hello, Bugman hammers going on. And we've talked about the next guys a little bit. Iron Drakes. They're just iron breakers with incredible ranged options.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And ballistic skill 4, 5 on the champion.
5 on the champ. So your troll hammer torpedo now is hitting on twos. Like, he's so good at 24-inch range.
Yeah.
And the Drake guns are 18-inch range. And the quick shot, they're so good. Iron Drakes are incredible. Full plate armor. They have a 5-up ward save against flaming attacks. Oh my gosh.
They got absolutely a lot going on.
They're still stubborn too. You can make them drilled. I adore these guys. Yeah, let's move swiftly on to probably the best unit in the entire Dwarf Army, which is Dwarf Rangers. And I need to play these guys more. Dwarves that scout, Dan, come on.
Yeah, scout is the number one thing. Their versatility, crossbows are awesome, especially with scouting.
Yeah, and you can give them crossbows and great weapons and shields.
Yeah. Toughness 4, weapon skill 4, like they're
ballistic skill 4 too.
They are ballistic skill 4?
Yeah. They know how to shoot.
They know how to shoot stuff good.
Yep. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they're A, right? Everybody loves dwarf miners. Rangers. They're fantastic.
And honestly, if you play with terrain like you should be doing, that move through cover, especially on dwarves, is really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, they need that because they're slow as dirt.
Slow as dirt. No, Dwarf Rangers are incredible.
Slow as dirt. Okay, so the next one I put into A here might seem a little weird at first, but Black Orcs.
Yeah, explain this to me, please.
First off, full plate armor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. They can take shields.
Okay.
They can take great weapons. They can take additional hand weapons. Oh, yeah, they're also Motley Crue.
Oh, there it is. All right.
And Furious Charge. Uh-huh. And Choppas. And they and have they're so much impetuous going on.
Oh, and you can make them stubborn.
Yep. Ignore Panic. You know, I don't remember what Du Bois does, but they have so many options. Stubborn, Veteran, you can give them. They can take a bunch of magic stuff. And it's just the shenanigans you can pull with Motley Crue. And putting like in your front rank with a couple of great weapons, a couple of guys with full plate armor and hand weapon and shield to take hits, like they're so good.
Yep.
Their stats bring them down a little bit. Their only weapon skill 4, strength toughness 4 is fine. Initiative 3 is better for an orc. Their only attack 1 for 12 points a model, I think, is solid.
So the Du Bois is your army must include 1 Black Orc boss for every Black Orc mob it includes, and vice versa.
Oh yeah, I mean you're gonna have a Black Orc boss anyway. That's not really a tax. He's just a better character.
Yep.
So I thought they're
incredible.
An easy include to be A tier.
Is that Temple Guard?
What do you mean? It says Temple Guard.
I've heard mixed reviews on Temple Guard.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like Brooks might be able to tell us something about this, but I've heard very mixed reviews. I feel like Speaks talked to us about it as well, but it might have been before the changes.
Maybe. So I put Temple Guard from Lizard Men, if people aren't totally familiar with that, as A, just because I think their stats kind of speak for them. Like, yeah, they're only weapon skill 4, which is still good, but not fantastic. Strength toughness 4 is always nice. 2 attacks.
Yeah, with halberds.
Is fantastic. Leadership 8 is great with cold-blooded. Shield wall, stubborn. They do have obsidian blades and hand weapons with halberds and, you know, a heavy armor shield. So they can be super, super tanky, or they can hit you harder with their halberds. They've got a lot going on. And then the Guardians thing help keep the slant alive. They're stubborn.
And it might be that people were upset that you can't just plop the slant in the middle of the unit anymore.
That hurts a lot. Yeah. Slant should not be a monstrous creature. That was one of my least favorite changes they ever made in this game.
Monstrous infantry.
Monstrous infantry. And it should just have a rule that it can go in units anyway.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I think their stat line is super solid, but we'll get to the better ones next.
I think you could make an argument for B plus, A minus, somewhere in there, I think is fine. Yeah. I think they're
solid. Do A minus.
A minus, okay. I can live with that.
I'll take that one.
The next one I have is if Chaos Warriors are the gold standard for B tier, I think Chosen Chaos Warriors are the gold standard for A tier because they're Chaos Warriors with 2 attacks. Come on. Come on.
He's such an idiot.
Their chaos armor, their chaos warriors with two attacks and stubborn.
Yeah, chaos armor too with a 6-up ward and stubborn and two attacks for 4 points. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're great. I think you don't see them.
And you can take full plate too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be incredibly defensive. They get real expensive real fast, but again, you're playing chaos, you can fill thing. You can, you know, if you want more bodies, you can take a bunch of marauders in your core and then some super elite chosen chaos warriors in your special. So like I think they have a place, and I put them in A just because their stats are fantastic.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I think initiative 5 would do them well at 17 points a model.
Yes.
I see where you're going next on your little click there, but this is probably one of the most ridiculous units in the game.
Your little click there.
These are fucking Forsaken, dude. If these minis weren't $17,000 a model, I feel like we'd see them everywhere.
I do not understand why they didn't release new models.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't even repackage the old ones.
Nope.
You cannot buy these new anywhere. You have to find them secondhand or kit bash them, which is fine. But yeah, I put them in A because they're just insane with their D3 attacks. But they're insane in a good way, not like the new warped gores from the Beastmen Arcane Journal are like Forsaken, but if they were bad.
Yeah.
But they got heavy armor. They're only weapon skill 4, but their movement 5, strength and toughness 4. I think weapon skill 4 is fine when you have D3 attacks.
Yeah, boo-hoo, weapon skill 4. Oh, by the way, I hate everyone because I'm Forsaken of Khorne.
Yeah. I think that's the best one, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Chaos armor 5+, so they have a 5-up armor ward save on top of their heavy armor. And sorceled weapons, furious charge, so it's D3 plus 1 attacks when they charge. And then stubborn is nice. And then their rampant mutation is just cool. When they start to fight, you get to roll a D6 and see what bonus they get. Either poisoned attacks. What's that?
The thing about it is they're all good.
They're all good. Yeah. Poison attacks, obviously not as good as it was, but still bonus to wound is still nice. AP 2, not armor bane, but AP 2 or killing blow. I've seen a unit of like 5 Forsaken just completely demolish a troll horde. Like a unit of 6 trolls just gone from killing blow.
So good, dude.
Yeah. I think they're solid. They're toughness 4. They only have heavy armor, but they do have a 5-up ward save is nice. Yeah. With that toughness 4 and movement 5, they can get across the table.
You really want them to get stuck in quick, I mean, Swift Stride is nothing to joke about.
You can give them Swift Stride if they're Forsaken by Slaanesh. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't cost any extra. Yeah, they're 19 points a model for one wound, so that might make me want to put them down in B tier, but they automatically get either Hatred, Fear, Swift Stride, or Magic Resistance 3.
They're so good.
Hatred or Swift Stride, I think, are the only real choices there. But
yeah,
unless
you know you're going against something magic-y, right?
Yeah. For 19 points a model, I do wish they were 2 wounds. Because
they'd be S tier then.
Yeah, I don't know, something, maybe toughness 5, something to keep them alive a little bit better for that minute. You know, almost practically 20 points a model is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your unit of 5 is now costing 100 points, just under. And they're 5+, so you can't go smaller than that anyway.
It's so worth it, though.
I think they could be. I definitely want to try these guys out. I don't have any models to represent them currently. That's something you need to look into, how to convert that up or find something, because I would love to run some of these dudes just to be ridiculous.
What's an Iron Sword Guard? I don't know what that is.
Should be Iron Sworn. I think
in Chaos Dwarves.
Yeah, either spell check got me or I just typed it wrong. Iron Sworn Guard are gross. So they're
the Infernal Iron Sworn.
Yeah, Infernal Ironsworn. I just wrote that wrong then. I think I got it mixed up with the other one is Infernal Guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Infernal Ironsworn, Infernal Guard, you know.
Yeah, right?
A little bit. But these are just elite Infernal Guard, right? They're weapon skill 5, strength toughness 4, the dwarves from the initiative 2, but they're 2 attacks each. So they're basically Chaos Warrior, like chosen Chaos Warriors, in the Chaos Dwarf list. Yeah, they're 19 points a model, but they do come with full plate.
Yep,
you've already paid for that. They have a lot of versatility. Again, great weapons, halberds. They can take shields, and they got a bunch of cool stuff like Quell Panic, Stubborn, Shield Wall, Veteran, Drilled, and Sorcerer weapons. Black Shard Armor, so good, Regimental Unit. Like, they have a lot going on. So that's why I put them in A tier.
Yeah. So 20 points a model, you have a 3-up armor. Yeah, you have Ironbreakers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who just don't reroll ones for your armor. Like, these guys are dope. They're super dope.
I think they're great. And again, there's so many options. And in their list, like, if you compared them point for an Ironbreaker, you'd probably have to bump them down to tier B, but I was thinking more within their own army.
But that's the thing. Like,
they're more elite.
Because there's so many things that can do what an Ironbreaker does, just an Ironbreaker does it way better, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think these are the only guys, I haven't really looked at the Chaos Dwarf army that much, but I feel like these are the only guys who are like, nope, this is the anvil. Nothing does better than this, right?
Yeah, the Infernal Guard are not bad.
Oh, but they're no 3-up armor save.
But yeah, the Infernal Iron Sworn are definitely more defensive. I mean, just full plate armor included.
And attacks. You know,
I have it bad for full plate armor.
This is the edition of armor saves. Yep. All right, let's talk about them.
The last A-tier unit, the Jade Warriors of Grand Cathay.
Yeah, dude.
So originally I put them in B because they're dudes. Their weapon skill 4, strength toughness 3. Initiative 3, attack 1, and it's like they come with heavy armor, which is nice, and you can give them halberds or shields for free. So they have either halberds or shields. But you can make them drilled. Stubborn is always nice. They have the detachment and regimental unit stuff going on. Their defensive stance is decent. Unless it charged during the preceding movement phase or counts as having charged this turn, they can re-roll 1 for armor saves, which is nice. So they're even more defensive. Why I put them in A tier is because of Will of the Dragons.
Okay.
Because we've seen that they can get up to like weapon skill 6.
You've got this wrong. Will of the Dragons is the panic test one. You're thinking of Elemental Winds.
Okay.
Yep. So the Elemental Winds is, I think, the one where you need a character in there. Oh, yes.
Wait, okay, where are
Elemental Winds is during each of their start of the turn, the Grand Cathay player rolls a d6 to determine the Elemental Winds is blowing strongest.
Where is this?
So Will of the Dragons is a unit with a special rule may reroll a failed panic test.
Okay, where's the other thing that they get?
It's the Elemental Winds. So it's on that same page. Excuse me. Wizards with the lore increase their dispel range. In addition, all friendly models with Will of the Dragon special rule. It is Will of the Dragons that gives them the thing. I'm sorry. Ignore me. So they can either get another movement and initiative or another weapon skill and leadership.
What page is that on? I can't find it now.
Page 45. It's on their special rule page.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Page 45.
Ignore me. I'm a big dumb idiot. Page 40 of the PDF.
I was like, I don't have a page 45. Okay, yeah. So, you know, half the time they're going to be weapon skill 5. And then there was that other thing that they can boost it up to weapon skill 6.
Yes. Yep.
I think it was a spell or whatever you were just saying a second ago. While I was trying to find the rule I was talking about. So, like, A tier might be a little overshooting for them. Maybe they're A minus.
Did it.
I'm in the wrong spot. I think you could very, very easily put them in B tier. Like, they're fine. But bumping up their weapon skill to make them more likely to hit, I think is great.
Always dope. Always dope.
So, yeah. That's one I would definitely be okay with dropping down to B tier. I definitely don't think they belong in C. Also, they're the only infantry in that army.
Right. I mean, they got to be pretty decent.
They got nothing else.
They got to be pretty decent. Hey, ladies and gents, we didn't forget about a heavy infantry unit. We didn't forget. They're the only ones in the S tier.
S.
And it's Saurus Warriors.
For Saurus.
S for Saurus. Like,
I had them in A tier, and Taylor was like, no, they're the best. They need to be their own class, especially with the changes to infantry and parry. Holy crap, these guys are scary.
They're so good, dude.
Because they're the only core unit in the game with two attacks at strength 4.
14 points. What do they have? A 3-up armor save because of the new thing?
Yeah,
so good, dude.
They have heavy armor and shields baked in. You don't have to pay for that. You do have to pay for thrusting spears, which all my models have. I think I have like 24 Saurus warriors that have spears that now I want to just give them all hand weapons because I'd rather have them be a 3-up armor save.
Yeah, two attacks at strength 4 AP 1 with a 3-up armor for 14 points?
15 to give them shield wall with their hand weapon shield. Like,
I missed that. That's so good.
Yeah. So the main thing, the main thing is they're two attacks, right? And they're core. they're kind of expensive. They're going to be 15 points because you're going to give them shield wall because you're not going to give them thrusting spears anymore. And if they get charged, now you're attacking, say you're even only 5 wide, which isn't very common, but you're still getting 15, 16 attacks back with your spawn leader. Like, good Lord.
And that's before you put anybody else in the unit. They're incredibly good.
Yeah. And their leadership 8, of course. They don't have a lot of special rules going on. They're close order, cold-blooded, and they're insidium blades that make their hand weapons AP 1.
But they don't need
them. They're just so good. They don't need extra stuff because they're just great.
They're just great. So let me just do a little mathematician here. Yeah, a unit of 25 is only 400 points.
I mean, that sounds expensive, but like that, you're almost done with your core. You throw in some skinks.
A unit of 32.
They're dirt cheap.
A unit of 32 that shield wall is 501 points.
Oh, you're over if you're playing a grand.
Over by melee. One. So just drop the musician.
So, yeah, you might think, okay, they're only weapon skill 3. That really hurts them. They do get hit a lot more because of that, but toughness 4, 3 or 4 up armor save is nice. But for two attacks in a core unit, it's the only one in the game, unless I'm forgetting something major. They are the best heavy infantry, I think.
Absolutely. Hands down. Hands down. And I know I said a lot about hammerers, but man.
I think if it's not Saurus, it's hammerers.
But so the thing that makes them S tier is the fact that they're core.
Yeah, absolutely. If they were special, they would be A or even B, I think.
They're just so good for their points and where they sit in the army list. Incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, so ladies, get
yourself some more Saurus warriors.
Go buy some Saurus warriors. Essentially, we were just trying to sell Lizardmen. Was really it, just because we want them to not be a legacy army anymore.
Agreed.
That's all we were doing here, folks. It's trying to get people to buy Lizardmen. Hey, how did we do? Anybody feel the same? Anybody feel like that we're just big dumb idiots? If you want to let us know,
tell us where you would disagree, because I'm sure there will be plenty.
Yeah, please let me know in a review, like a 5-star review would be great. I'm going to give these guys a glowing review because they're idiots. It would be the best review I've ever gotten. That would be incredible.
That's so on brand.
Right? Pony's going to do it.
So I don't think Pony listens,
but Pony's going to do it. Listen, if you don't want to give us a review, which, hey, you should. You should just do that anyways. You can head over to our Discord, which is in the link in the description below. And if it's not there, because I don't know how links work, you can head over to professionalcasual.com. And you can find all of our links for all of our socials. We got everything up there. Merch. We've got blogs. We've got all of our other podcasts, like A Grim Podcast or Palest Adventure. G-pap, which is run by our very own Dan. And it's just a marauding band of vagabonds who just have no idea what they're doing ever. I haven't listened in a very long time. They're probably like king lords at this point. I'm sure.
I mean, they're playing through a very long campaign, so yeah, you could expect them to not be grubs in the mud the whole time.
Right. I'm sure Lucky has 17 arms already through all of his horrible mutations. No, absolutely fantastic crew, and they're having an absolute blast over there. We've got so much going on that website, and we've got so many podcasts. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. We have other things that I have in a list, which is right in front of me now. Start playing .games. We've got Dan's GM stuff. If you look up Bad GM Dan, you can have fun in an entire dwarf RPG, which just sounds awesome.
With you the ever old played world RPG rules.
Yeah. You ever played Return to Moria? Well, guess what? You can do it in old world RPG.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. Right now I'm trying to run that on a Friday morning because I'm a teacher in summertime currently, but once I'm back to school, that's time's going to have to change where I can try to fit that in somewhere because it sounds, I mean, I wrote it. I think it sounds fun.
Fair enough. We also do a whole bunch of stuff on Twitch, Professional Casual Network, which I think, even though it's not the correct day, Dr. D is streaming.
Yeah, I saw he went live and I was like, what is happening? Who's live right now?
He's the silliest. I love that man. Anyways,
silliest Billy.
I'm gonna go over there and just double check. Oh, he's not streaming right now. Oh, he was earlier today. Anyways.
That was a short stream. Well, I guess it is 11 o'clock now.
Oh my gosh. I gotta go to bed. And hey, we have a P.O. Box, so if you want to send us ridiculous crap, it's P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. And if you want to, you know, give Tim a text message, send him a picture of your feet, 603-803-3235.
He really appreciates that.
He loves it.
Especially when we ask people to do it.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
It's really tired. You got anything you want to say?
Yeah. What?
It's really late. I'm really tired.
I didn't even realize you said that incorrectly.
We're doing great, man.
May all your dudes be Saurus warriors.
You ever heard that one where Batman goes up to Robin and says, I'll be in the bathroom, and Robin goes, what's a hroom?
Get out.
I love you.
Oh my god.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.